just standing there. And I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then, and then once again.
Sunday, May 5th, 2019, and our topic is everything you need to know about rosacea and nothing you don't. But first, we're gonna go say hi to Facebook. Let's hit that button, and here we are. All right, hi Facebook. Okay, so our topic is everything you need to know about rosacea and nothing you don't. And what really sparked this topic was my just feeling of unease, you know, throughout medical school, throughout practicing as a physician, and even now when I talk to people who are very concerned about their health, and maybe they've done some research, they've checked some stuff out, looked into things, and they are extremely confused, and none of this research has led to anything positive, or call it enlightenment or increased understanding. And so I said, well, this is a good time to do a show that would kind of clarify this. So, well, what is really going on? Why is it that people can get so much information, call it medical information, and really have no further clarity? So that's the question. So how is it people can have so much information and no clarity? And having gone through medical school and received an incredible amount of information, and at graduation feeling like I really didn't have a lot more information than when I entered medical school. I mean, I knew a lot about if this, then do that. But I hadn't learned anything that would advance someone's health. So that was a source of frustration. And so this illness, call it rosacea, is really an excellent example of a type of instruction that doctors receive, which leads to total confusion, lack of enlightenment, and lack of results or healing on the part of patients. And it's the same research / information that the public now has access to, and the public feels, wow, now that I have this information, I feel so much more educated. But so I'm going to show you this information that doctors are receiving. We're going to take a close look at it. We're going to analyze it and see if we can't get a smidgen more understanding, not so much of the disease, but of why what doctors do is so ineffective and so harmful. Just want to say here that my Facebook is showing a black screen, and I'm not sure if anyone on Facebook can hear me or not. Oh well, we'll handle it at the commercial. Okay, so what is rosacea? Well, there's a question. I think it's a reasonable question. So this is what they tell doctors that rosacea is. So rosacea is a chronic, that means it lasts a long time, like your whole life. So the word chronic in medicine, the English translation is there is no cure. So there's no cure for this. So right off the bat, they're telling you, no, this is not going to be cured. So rosacea is a chronic, call it lifetime, inflammatory condition of the skin. So it means the skin is inflamed. That centers on the pilosebaceous units and presents with at least one of the following features. Now, whoa, whoa, whoa. So what's a pilosebaceous unit? Well, it's a hair follicle. Okay, hair follicle. So it's a incurable skin disease of the hair follicles. Okay, and prevents, that means shows up, with at least one of the following features. So one of the following features, maybe more. Now this is interesting because now we have a situation of relativity. So it could be this and could be that. So now we don't even have a firm definition of the condition. So it could be like a Chinese menu, right? A, B, C, or D, one of the above, more than one of the above. Okay. So that means two people can have this particular disease and have no similar symptoms, just say it. So a central facial erythema, that means redness in the center of the face, with telangiectatic mass and flushing. That means little blood vessels swirling out on the sides of the red spot. So it's a red spot in the center of the face with little kind of spider arteries and flushing, which means a person's face can turn even more red. So you can see that just calling this central facial erythema with telangiectatic mass and flushing can really obscure like what the heck is going on. All right, so red in the center of the face, got that. Or inflammatory lesions, that means papules, that means something that sticks up in the skin. Pustules, that means the thing that sticks up's got pus in it. And cysts, that means it's a bigger thing that's lumpy and has pus in it. So it can be just red or it can be raised. Or there can be phytmatous changes. That means skin hypertrophy and fibrosis. So we still don't know what they're talking about. They have not stooped to using English yet. But what they're saying is the skin can get thickened and lumpy and look fibrous. So in other words, we now have lumps that don't have any pus in them. And it looks almost like a popcorn nose, usually affecting the nose. So, or they can have ocular inflammation, which is conjunctivitis, blepharitis, and chalazia. What's that? So conjunctivitis means redness of the whites of your eyes. That's usually where you see it. Blepharitis means swollen eyelids, and chalazia means a lump in the corner of your eye. Again, the lack of English translation means, and since a doctor is trained in this particular language, is a lot of times many doctors can't even translate this into English. Why? Because they haven't taken the time to look up every single little word. And if you look up every single little word, then what you can see then is, excuse me, redness in the middle of the face has almost nothing to do with redness in the eye. And this is a disease of the hair follicles. Excuse me, how many hair follicles are in your eyeball? So already, we've got a credibility issue here with the definition of this disease. Okay, and so showing you pictures of this disease. So I can't really show it to you because Facebook page is going black. Now I should try to see if I can get into Facebook another way. Okay. Let's go another way to Facebook. All right, here we are. Facebook. Okay, we're going to go live again. All right, so let's go find Facebook again. Oh, here I am. Okay, we got a black screen again. All right, show must go on. Okay, so we've got pictures now. So now at least the doctor can recognize it when he sees it. And so now, five things to know about rosacea. So first of all, now we've got a definition that covers many diseases that have no overlap and some that don't even involve hair follicles. This is interesting. So it's a disease of the hair follicle that actually affects parts of the body with no hair follicles. And so this is something, again, you've got the poor doctor confused, but thank God we've got a clue. We've got these four pictures here. Now, the tip-off, of course, if you're already told the doctor up front, this disease cannot be cured, it will not be cured. What does that tell the doctor? Well, it's going to be a steady revenue source. But really, what it tells the doctor also, told me as a medical student, is, you mean all the therapy you're about to tell me to use for this disease is not effective? But at any rate, so rosacea affects all ethnicities. It means anyone of any complexion or ethnic background can get this. But light-skinned people of European descent are the most prone, with one Swedish study showing a prevalence of 10%. The global prevalence of rosacea is 5% in women and 3% in men, and the condition primarily affects adults between 45 and 60 years of age. Now, this idea or concept that this affects light-skinned people of European descent, it kind of helps people get the idea that this is maybe genetic. It feeds into that kind of, it nurtures this racism that, you know, we're all different races and we all have our little special things. And so they've got to put that in there, but we'll come back to that. So it's not just a skin disease. Sounds interesting. So rosacea is associated with hyperactivity, that means overactivity, of the innate immune system. Well, I just want to make a comment here. There's no such thing as an overactive immune system. The immune system knows what to do, and it is doing its job. So since the immune system is doing its job, there's what you're saying is hyperactivity. But let's just say it's associated with activity of the immune system, which protects epithelial, that means skin, barriers against infection and chemical or physical injury. So this immune system protects the skin from injury, and they're saying it's overactive. Well, that's like a mother being overprotective by getting her kid out the way of a car. So this primitive, non-specific inflammatory network is triggered by a range of environmental, dietary, hormonal, and lifestyle factors. Now, they're calling it primitive by saying it's not adapted to modern realities or the modern environment. So it's primitive. It's misguided, ineffective, broken. As they say in medical school, God made a mistake. So it's not specific. That means it can't tell left from right. It's stupid. So it's outdated, it's inadequate, and it's stupid. Okay. Inflammatory network is triggered by environmental, dietary, hormone, and lifestyle factors. In the broader context, rosacea may just be the superficial tip of an inflammatory iceberg. Like, oh my God. But the key here is the idea of triggered by these factors. Well, wait a minute. If it's triggered by those factors, maybe we could modify those factors, right? Wouldn't you think? That's what I thought as a kid in medical school. So it has a strong hereditary component. But wait, it is triggered by environmental, dietary, hormonal, and lifestyle factors. So the strong hereditary component, how could that be? You just listed all these lifestyle, environmental, epigenetic things. Let's see what they say. A recent genome-wide association study showing a clustering of the genetic risk for rosacea, type 1 diabetes, celiac disease, and rheumatoid arthritis, and multiple sclerosis. So genome-wide clustering. So all these other diseases, if you have them, your chances of rosacea, or vice versa, if you have rosacea, the chances of these other diseases are twice as much. Lucky for us, these other diseases have been studied, and we will have some answers for this. So epidemiological studies means you take a large group of people and you kind of see what they have in common. I blame rosacea to comorbid conditions affecting almost every organ system. Comorbid means unhealthy or disease conditions that go along with this disease. And so if you have rosacea, then your chances of having a lot of other different diseases in other organs outside the skin are also increased. So let's take a look at these. Allergies, dietary and airborne, gastrointestinal, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, Helicobacter pylori infection, reflux, heart, cardiovascular disease, hypertension, dyslipidemia, we'll call it, elevated cholesterol, triglycerides. There's a whole bunch of different fats that are labeled normal or abnormal. Endocrine, type 1 and type 2 diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, migraine headaches, Parkinson's disease, and psychiatric problems like depression, anxiety, and alcoholism. So, statistically, whenever you have things that show up together at the same time, then that means that could mean one causes the other, or the same thing causes both. So furthermore, many of these associations strengthen with rosacea severity. So the worse the rosacea or skin rash on the face is, the worse these other conditions are. So should every patient with rosacea be screened for each of these illnesses? Well, that would hardly be feasible, given the high prevalence of rosacea. But clinicians, that means doctors, should, or nurse practitioners, should consider targeted screening questions for individuals with rosacea who have additional risk factors for these comorbid conditions. So we've covered the one thing, which is it's not just a skin disease. It's the whole body. So then we can see immediately then, since it's a whole body disease, there is no cream or treatment directly applied to the skin that's going to be effective. So we can automatically deduce this just from what they told us. Because we're going to believe what they told us. That's what I do. I believe everything. And then if believing everything leads to a contradiction, then you have to go back and say, whoa, there must have been something I believe that wasn't true. And then you can go back and sort through these beliefs and say, aha, there, that is the one that's false. So let's see this one. Number two says, antibiotics work, but not for the reason you might think. Now, they've already told you it's a problem to hair follicles. It's inflammatory, which means maybe an infection there. Something is inflaming. And so low-dose doxycycline, 40 milligrams every day for the rest of your life, excuse me, FDA-approved oral treatment for rosacea, historically, tetracyclines for rosacea were assumed to target pro-inflammatory bacteria, like Propionibacterium acne, Staphylococcus epidermidis. Similar assumptions were made for topical antimicrobials. So these are all being used to treat rosacea, and they were helpful. And the historical assumption was they were killing organisms and parasites. So the antiparasitic drug ivermectin, which was thought to work by suppressing overgrowth of cutaneous mites, but is rosacea really an infectious process? Growing body of evidence points to a different etiology. So in other words, it's not caused by an infection, but antibiotics every day for the rest of your life is recommended therapy. All right, another contradiction. So now, as me, a poor little medical student, I am totally confused, totally confused, and your doctor's probably confused too. At this point, doctor's brain is going into overload, like, oh, just tell me what I'm supposed to do for this. This is so complicated. It's so contradictory. Just what am I supposed to do? And so they put the doctor in that frame of mind by presenting all of this information in a very confusing way. But it's not really an infectious disease, finally, which might suggest why all of the therapies are not effective and why it's a chronic lifetime disease, because maybe the therapy just is not appropriate. So growing body evidence points to a different etiology. Hyperactivity is overactivity of the cutaneous, that means skin, innate, that means inside the human immune system. All right. So simply put, the immune system, and I'm putting this in English for you, let me give you the gobbledygook first. Simply put, the innate immunity is a primitive, non-specific immune system that protects epithelial barriers, just as the skin and gut, from microbial, chemical, and physical injury. Critical components of this pathway include the toll-like receptor and nucleotide binding domain and leucine-rich repeat-containing families, which, when activated, these increase the expression of pro-inflammatory cytokines, proteases, and antimicrobial peptides, for example, catalepsin in the skin. All right. So if you're not confused yet, if you're not confused, you're lying. But simply put, what they're saying is, they're repeating that the immune system is primitive. That means inadequate, like, you know, a newborn or something. It's non-specific. It can't tell left from right. And it protects skin barriers all over the body. And they get you into this whole under-the-microscope nonsense with little chemicals. What does this one do? What does that chemical do? As you can see, we will soon show you, this is nothing but getting a doctor so confused, so turned around, so disoriented, he's ready to accept whatever at the end of this thing they say you ought to do. They're like, all I want to know is the standard of care. Just tell me what drug to pump and follow. Summarization, inflamed skin expresses increased levels of catalysin and proteases. In a 12-week study, doxycycline reduced inflammatory lesions and improved global assessment scores compared with placebo. So now you have to ask, what was the placebo? That's always the question. And so, of course, we don't know what the placebo is, but I can tell you it was not a glass of water. And I can also tell you that if it was sugar, then the sugar would increase the redness and the rash. So whatever the placebo was designed to make things worse. And of course, the doxycycline, even if it did nothing, would appear to be an improvement over placebo. So clinical improvement correlated with a drop in catalysin and protease activity, supporting the idea that doxycycline improves rosacea via anti-inflammatory rather than antimicrobial mechanisms. Then, why don't we just take some turmeric, which is an anti-inflammatory? But the truth is, we can do better than that. Similar anti-inflammatory effects have been demonstrated for topical metronidazole, which is flagyl, azelaic acid, and ivermectin. Now, azelaic acid is not even an antibiotic. It's just an acid that dissolves thickened skin. So what we have here then, we have an anti-parasitic, an anti-worm, and a chemical that dissolves basically collagen. And all three of them are supposed to help this condition. And none of them work on the same mechanism. So there's no one-size-fits-all treatment. As mentioned above, rosacea has several variants, each of which can manifest in the same patient in overlapping fashion or at different times. More rare pediatric granulomatous and pyodermic rosacea fulminans variants also exist. So pediatric, it means a child, somebody would be someone under 10 years old and maybe even someone under 5. So all patients with rosacea should be educated about gentle skin care and avoidance of triggers like sun exposure, strong facial cleansers, facial cosmetics with fragrance, and dietary triggers like alcohol and spicy foods. Daily sunscreen use and avoidance of such mechanical irritants as facial scrubs should be encouraged. Different rosacea components respond best to different treatments. In this context, each patient with rosacea needs his or her own individualized plan. So if the person has pus pockets in their face, use topical antibiotic, metronidazole, or azelaic acid, or ivermectin. And low-dose doxycycline antibiotic every single day. Is FDA approved, even though we don't think it's, they no longer think it's an infection. So redness, these little spider veins, responds poorly to topical or oral antibiotics. These patients benefit most from trigger avoidance, gentle skin care, odor protection, and judicious use of topical vasoconstrictors. Mm. To date, two topical alpha adrenergic receptor and agonists are FDA approved to treat the persistent facial redness of rosacea. And then for the phymatous rosacea, that's cauliflower nose, this subtype is the most challenging to treat and typically requires a combination of topical antibiotics, low-dose doxycycline, and mechanical laser and radiofrequency debridement of the excess tissue for optimal management. So you're going to cut off the extra swelling skin in the nose, or you can put topical stuff on the skin to improve the appearance, but you still have the condition and it's still progressive. And then red skin and red eyes, of course there's eye drops. And if you don't treat the eye problems, it can lead to disfigurement and permanent, basically disfigurement. Patients with signs and symptoms of eye rosacea should be referred to an ophthalmologist for optical management, which may require a combination of low-dose doxycycline, topical azithromycin, another antibiotic, or cyclosporine, another antibiotic. So the eye rosacea is easier to manage when symptoms are mild, so early detection and intervention are critical. Notably, significant ocular rosacea may be present even with minimal skin disease. Now, we all know the story of early detection. When you have early detection, you treat a lot of stuff that never would have got worse. So again, this is a major industry booster. And persistent redness, don't forget, lasers and light. So chronic inflammation leads to elevated expression of vascular endothelial growth factor and other angiogenic factors. This results in the characteristic phlegectetic mats of rosacea, which are concentrated central facially, in contrast to lateral and diffuse temporal change of chronic photo damage. So, what you're saying is this redness leads to chemical changes and these spider, people call them spider veins, but they're really arterioles. And they're concentrated in the center of the face, whereas the photo damage, similar picture, is in the lateral face, like closer to the ears. And so topical agonists can reduce, or drugs, can reduce background redness, but have little effect on these spider veins. So if you get rid of the background redness, obviously the spider veins stand out even more, at least before you can fake and say, oh, I have rosy cheeks. So to treat these effectively, laser and intense pulse light devices are needed. Comparable good results can be obtained with a wide range of vascular blood vessel, hemoglobin targeting, lasers, and intense pulse light with protocols designed for both bruising and non-bruising settings. Ouch. Patients should avoid tanning before laser therapy. That's nice to know. Now, so this is everything your doctor knows about rosacea. This is what he's taught. That's it. That's the whole ball of wax. So, now, what can we add to this piece of confusion? You mean total confusion. Well, thank goodness, I'm a little more information than what they are applying. So, what's the kicker here? The kicker here is, first of all, that it's prevalent in Caucasians, Northern European. What do we know about people who have white skin and live in northern part of Europe? Well, they drink a lot of milk. Yep. Women with type 1 diabetes, 80% of type 1 diabetes cases are associated with dairy drinking. As is diabetes, as is celiac disease. Celiac disease is basically an intestinal problem, and rheumatoid arthritis, as well as multiple sclerosis. So all of these disorders are associated with heavy dairy drinking. Yeah. And ditto on the dietary and airborne allergies. Many people of whatever ethnic background, white, European, African-American, when they stop their dairy, their allergies are much, much better, and in many cases go away completely.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, Independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Talking about rosacea and why it appears to be so confusing and why the therapy is avowedly ineffective. In other words, doctors have been warned that this is a chronic disease. Don't expect anyone to get better. Nobody's going to get better for this one. All right, let's see. Oh, no. A bunch of visual things going on. This video has ended. All right, no problem. Hi, Facebook. Okay, so I'm telling you everything you need to know about rosacea and nothing you don't. All right, as you can see, we're having technical difficulties. All right, so let's see. Oh, that's the end of that. Okay, so as you can see, doctors have been given a bunch of incredibly confusing information and associations. Whereas the truth is, it's the dairy intake that causes both the rosacea and all the other diseases associated with the rosacea, aggravates or makes them worse. And so rather than giving doctors a simple, straightforward scoop on this, you have all this confusing stuff, throwing all this microscopic so-called beta. It's a mess. And all it does is serve to obscure the obvious. So as I was practicing medicine in the middle of the ghetto in Syracuse, New York, I noticed this. And I said, well, why don't we just stop the dairy? And after a while, it was amazing. As soon as we'll stop the dairy, boom, rosacea gone. Boom, rosacea gone. Now, but you can't do that. Why can't you do that? Well, they can't. They teach the doctors that you can cure rosacea by telling someone to stop the dairy intake. That would destroy a major industry. And that is actually the job of modern medicine, is to protect these industries, to protect these disease-causing industries by postulating another mysterious source for the problem. And in this way, your doctor or your interaction with the medical industrial complex is designed to actually obscure the real cause of your condition, the real cause of disease. So the way that they have presented rosacea is the way they present all of the diseases. Whether it's diabetes, whether it's an autoimmune disease, it's something very mysterious with no cause and definitely no cure. Like the first thing they said in describing rosacea is, this is a chronic disease. Don't worry, your patients will not be getting better. Another thing I think is really super cute is when you're going tetracycline, it's not compatible with dairy. So you have to stop your dairy products when you go on tetracycline. And so, of course, it's the stopping dairy products that causes the improvement, not the tetracycline. And in my medical practice, I was just floored when I would see a patient that had a skin problem. I said, okay, stop the dairy, and she'd clear up, see you back a couple weeks, and go from there. They immediately went to a dermatologist. And dermatologist, you do not understand. I am going to a dermatologist who has more experience and more credentials than you have. I thought, shoulder shrug. They go to the dermatologist. What does he do? He puts my tetracycline. Tells them they cannot eat milk because it interferes with tetracycline. They stop their dairy, and they tell me, that tetracycline is working, Dr. Daniels. You should have put me on a tetracycline. I said, well, are you eating dairy? Oh, no, 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 I had to stop dairy because it doesn't mix with tetracycline. I said, oh. Can't make this stuff up. And so they call it genome-wide association studies. And, of course, why is it genome-wide? Why is your genetic association? Because mom drinks milk, she's got rosacea, feeds her kids milk, they get rosacea, and there you go. It's a cultural practice, not a genetic transmission. Now again, the thing, ulcerative colitis, in many cases, ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease can be either cured or greatly eliminated by just stopping dairy. What's dairy? It's not eggs. Dairy is anything that comes from the udders of a cow, and there'll be milk, anything made from that milk, it's dairy. So casein, whey, sour cream, heavy cream, yogurt, all of these things are dairy products. And these are also associated with neurologic problems like migraine headaches, dementia, Parkinson's disease. And so it turns out the same thing that causes a skin rash is what causes these things. And that same thing, the common thread, is dairy. Not some people, you know, maybe their dairy intake is, well, call it modest. So what is really going on then is they are taking in a substance that is overwhelming their immune system. And so dairy is prime number one. Now, then secondary, number two, is alcohol. So if a person stops all the dairy and they stop all their alcohol, then boom, generally the rosacea will clear up. Now, another thing they get to that is facial cleansers, makeup, people who put things on their face. And people with dark skin historically have used a lot less makeup. because there wasn't much makeup made for darker skin. And so people were just like, just stop using, they just didn't buy makeup. And when I was a kid, the thought of using makeup just, it was ludicrous. Because everything was a powdery, light tan color, which of course did not answer my, it didn't match my skin. So it never occurred to me to spend any money on makeup. So my whole skincare program was just to draw Vaseline, smear it on my face, and boom, ready to go. So the fact that this is predominant more in people of lighter skin or people who are white, again, reflects the fact that they use makeup. Why? Because it's made for their skin. So we have a whole new generation of makeup now available that's been made for dark skin. So we're seeing more people with dark skin using makeup, and we can expect that they will also get this same condition. Also, we have the advent of lactate milk. That's milk that has enzyme in it that helps people who do not tolerate milk to digest it. And this means what? They're going to start drinking more milk, and they're going to start getting the same skin condition. When I was a kid, I personally, all by myself, at about the age of 9 years old, figured out that I did not tolerate milk. And what did I do? I just stopped drinking it. No consultation necessary. Didn't ask my parents. Didn't go see a doctor. I just said, well, that's it. No more milk for me. And I stopped drinking milk. Very easy. Very simple. So people with darker skin tend not to drink milk because they don't tolerate it as well. But again, now that lactate is being put in the milk, the digestive tolerance is improving. And so now what we're going to see is an increase among people with dark skin of all of these diseases, especially, of course, rosacea. So rosacea is triggered by environmental, dietary, hormonal, and lifestyle factors. So, yet none of the therapies that doctors recommend involve environmental, dietary, hormonal, or lifestyle factors. And so this really is where the cure lies. And the environmental factor is, it might be air pollution. I would say that's the biggest one, would be air pollution. The dietary factor, the big one is milk. Secondary is alcohol. Tertiary, third, might be processed food. But again, hormonal, well, hormones are in the dairy, right? High estrogen from the cow. And lifestyle factors, which would be use of makeup and chemicals in the face. And this really is the whole rosacea story. That's it. Very simple, straightforward. The cause has nothing to do with your doctor, and the cure has also nothing to do with your doctor. And this is the case with just about every illness you can think of. And so what happens, though, is the doctor is bombarded with a blizzard of scrambled information. This is associated with this, and that's associated with that, and this genetic, and those people, and the white skin, and the black skin. I mean, when we graduated from medical school, literally, I think 100% of the class believed, and I did too, that there was black medicine and there was white medicine. And so, of course, all of us had a different conception of what we've been taught in medical school. So I thought, okay, I learned in medical school black medicine. That's medicine you give to black folks because you know it don't work. And that there's white medicine out there to give to white people that works. So when I graduated from medical school, that was my view of the situation. And by golly, I was going to go out there and learn this white medicine, wherever it was. I was going to go look for it. Whereas the white students have a different take on it. They felt that they had been taught medicine, you know, general medicine for everybody, except when the teacher said black people do this and white people do that, they actually believed it. Of course, I thought that was utter nonsense because, of course, me being not only black, but seeing a large range of black people in my neighborhood, in my family, I knew that nothing they taught me was true. But this stuff just didn't pan out. I had no observations whatever to verify anything that they taught me in medical school about blacks versus whites. And so everyone felt, though, without question,
upon graduation, that there were actually certain medical practices that you would adjust or change based on a person's complexion or whether or not their ancestors originated in Africa. And of course, for the white people in my class, this is like really confusing. At what point does a person become sufficiently genetically white for you to use the white instructions you got in medical school? And at what point are they genetically black enough for you to use the black instructions that you got in medical school? And I was surprised when I would talk to my classmates and colleagues that they were actually trying to sort this out. And they would say, Jennifer, how do we do this? How do you sort this out? I said, dude, it's all a bunch of BS. There's no difference between, you know, black and white people. Difference between someone who drinks milk and doesn't drink milk. Difference between someone who drinks alcohol and doesn't drink alcohol. Between someone who eats this and doesn't eat whatever that thing is. But this whole genetic basis of whatever, certainly based on race, is totally bogus. And so when I would tell them that, they were totally shocked, and they had difficulty even processing it because they had allocated so much space in their brain for this racial difference between blacks and whites, and they felt that maintaining that difference and that distinction in medical practice was part of being a good doctor because that's what they were taught in medical school. So this leaves your doctor in a situation of, as I said, total, complete confusion, and leaves them totally helpless to assist you in any meaningful way. He can't. So this would be hilarious if the effects weren't so devastating. And so, just by the way, the psychiatric issues are caused by the doxycycline. So doxycycline causes depression and even suicidal ideation. So that's another thing that obscures this whole issue. You put someone on a lifetime drug that then creates additional diseases. Those additional diseases are then associated back to the first disease you were treating, not to the treatment itself. But again, this is another reason why medical care is so phenomenally devastating. And again, it's not that doctors are especially stupid, but this is what they are trained is the case. And in order to keep their license, they have to remain gullible and suppress any independent thought or intuition, which is really a shame. It's absolutely a shame. That's really the rosacea story, but it's also the hypertension story, it's the diabetes story, it's the arthritis story, and it's also the cancer story. So, and this is why the so-called genetic component is really irrelevant, because it's a matter of lifestyle choices and activities. And it's unfortunate that many people don't make lifestyle choices. Instead, they just accept lifestyle practices that were handed to them by their family or by their college or by the circumstances they find themselves in. And many people will tell me, oh, Dr. Daniels, I can't make this change or that change, but it's not convenient. I said, absolutely. Of course it's not convenient. It's why you're sick. You're sick because you're following the follower, because you're following what's going on around you without any unique consideration of it. And people have actually been convinced of this whole one-size-fits-all. Like, people say, well, I want to be normal. Really? That's ridiculous. You know, why not just be you? You know, that's the thing to be. Being normal, there's no benefit in that. What's the benefit of being normal? Of course, the benefit of being normal is maybe you're accepted. Maybe your kid gets to go to school because he's been tortured and mutilated with vaccines and harm. But you have to make the decision. The decision still remains with you. The level and degree of conformity you want to engage in and the level and degree of illness you're willing to accept as a result of that engagement.
So, again, as with rosacea and with any other disease, the question really is, how important is it to you to have cheese on that pizza? Is it worth the rosacea? Is it worth all the other dairy-related afflictions that you're likely to end up with? So that's what you have to take a look at. And that's the rosacea. We are off to commercial.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. And we are talking about rosacea today. Not only rosacea, though, but rosacea as a model for how your doctor is trained about other conditions and other diseases. So, unfortunately, this type of training, this type of disease explanation, leads to the doctor optimistically and hopefully employing therapy that is futile. Since, of course, it has nothing to do with the cause of the disease. And, again, they start out by telling you, doctor, this is a lifetime disease, don't worry about it, nothing is going to work. But we're always taught, as doctors, there's more research coming, for Christ's sake, keep up with your continuing medical education, and one day soon, it is our hope that this will help. All right, we're pretty close to the top of the hour here, and, oh, wait, a message from our sponsor. So, we are presently out of stock on regular Vitality Capsules, but we are having a out-of-stock sale. So, the two-for-one sale is now in progress for regular. However, catch is, the two-for-one sale is in progress now, and we'll keep that price until the capsules become available. So we're just, I've decided to offer two for the price of one as a reward, a concession, or bonus for people who are willing to wait the 5 weeks until the capsules are available. So two for one if you pay today and agree to take delivery when the capsules are available. When the capsules become available, the two-for-one sale will be over, and Vitality Capsules will return to their regular price. Okay. All right, so that's the sale information. Oh, where do you go? Go to vitalitycapsules.com. And right now it's not quite set up, so you have to order the regular, and then you'll get an email letting you know the increased number of bottles that you will receive and offering you the opportunity to wait the 5 weeks. So right now, that's what we have hooked up. We're getting our web guys on it to streamline the process. All right, we are ready for questions. My Facebook is broken. I don't know how to fix it. What are we going to do? Oh, we're going to commercial. We will be back.
Just that.
I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I can see them. And then once again, you said you would come and dance with me. Dance with me across the sea.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.